I want to turn this morning to the book of Zechariah, the fourth chapter, begin to read at the fifth verse. Zechariah chapter 4, begin to read with verse number 5. The prophet Zechariah, some of these little short books here, the prophets, called the minor prophets, but I'll tell you, when you begin to get into them and read them, you find they're not so minor. They're major, really, when you begin to read of God's message, words to his people. I believe much of it applied to the people then, but I believe some of it even applies today. Zechariah chapter 4, and we'll begin to read at verse number 5. Part of this is familiar to us. Sometimes we quote a part of this scripture, but I think we forget some of the verses that goes along with it there. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting and crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Praise God. Of course, we have that quote there that is on our Pentecostal evangelists. Every time you get one, you look at it. It's got that same quote on it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And of course, we realize that this applied to Zerubbabel here and to the children of Israel in a very trying time in the history of Israel and of God's dealing with them. This came as a great and tremendous promise unto Zerubbabel and the people of Israel. But I believe that it can also apply to us. In fact, one writer in the New Testament said that the things of the Old Testament was recorded as in samples for you and me. And that we can draw some tremendous lessons from them, and we can learn some things that God wants us to know and to do. You know, if there's anything that we need to learn is that Israel failed God in many ways. I believe the writer, when he was talking about the examples given to us in the Old Testament, is trying to tell us we don't have to fail God like Israel failed. We can be victorious. We can be conquerors. In fact, one writer in the New Testament tells us that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Praise God. I was reading, writing of a man one time, writing about the blood of Christ and its power to redeem and to save. And one of the statements that he made that stood out to me, and I believe it's very true, the blood derives its power through the Holy Spirit of God. Without the Holy Spirit of God, the blood would have no power to cleanse from sin. That blood was shed almost 2,000 years ago. And that actual blood that was spilled there at the cross no longer exists. But the Holy Spirit gives that blood power to cleanse from sin today. Praise God. And when we read this scripture, where it was talking here to Israel and to Zerubbabel at a time when they were in dire need of help from God. And God spoke and said, It's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Folks, it's still the Holy Spirit of God that is active in the church, in the world today, to bring about God's divine will and plan for your lives and mine, and bring the victories that you and I need in our hearts and lives today. Praise God. I think in our Sunday school lesson, we looked at the fact that if we will praise and worship God, and we will open our hearts to Him in times of need, He will be there and be our help and our victory for the glory of God. Friends, there's no reason for us to go under when we can go over. Read in the Bible where Jesus was in the disciple, was in the boat with His disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And someone talked about that passage of Scripture, and Jesus was there, and the disciples fearful and afraid, and they said they couldn't go under for going over because Jesus had power over the wind and the waves. And my friend, Jesus, through the power of His Holy Spirit, still has power over the winds and the waves, the storms, the doubts, the fears, the oppression, the sin, the evil that's around us today. There is still the power of the Spirit of God that's in action in the church today, if we will only give Him a chance to operate and work in our hearts and in our lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've been talking a little bit in Wednesday night in our Bible study about apostolic Christianity and the mighty works of God that was done back in the apostolic days. I believe that the Holy Spirit is still moving in this hour, and we can still see the mighty works of God performed and done in the church today for the glory of God. Our God hasn't changed a bit. He's still the same. We still have the same Holy Spirit. If we've ceased to grieve Him away and let Him come and dwell in our heart richly and abundantly, He will still move and do the great things that He did in the early church for the glory of God. It's still not by might nor by power, but it's by the Holy Spirit of God today. When I think about what is stated here, the writer talks about a great mountain before Zerubbabel, but it talks about it becoming nothing but a plain. When the Spirit of God begins to move, the mountains come down, and the obstacles are thrust aside, and God's people sees victory and the glory, the blessings of God in great and wonderful ways. And it was prophesied here that Zerubbabel and the people of Israel would see the mighty glories and the victories of God. In fact, the writer said that God spoke and said, Zerubbabel hath laid the hand has laid the foundation, and the hand of Zerubbabel will finish the work. Praise God. And I believe that we have started something that we're going to be able to finish by the help of the grace of God. The Bible says that God's begun a good work in us, and He's able to finish it by His Spirit. Praise God. What to begin in your heart and life? Has He begun a work in you? Is He working to change your heart and life? To shape and to mold you, as that song said, according to His will and His likeness? Did you know that God knows what is best for you and me? Do you realize that He seeks our good and our benefit? I know sometimes people seem to get the idea that God's trying to put us off out here in some bad situation to punish us for wrongs that we've done and failings that we've failed in and all of these things. But friend, it's not so. A lot of our troubles we bring on ourselves. I believe that God is moving today to deliver us and bring us out and give us victory and make us to shout and rejoice in the wonderful things of God. I believe it's still by His Spirit today. I think so many times we're trying to do things ourselves, our own way and our own ability, that we get things in such a mess that nothing but the power of the Spirit of God can turn them around and make them work out for the glory of God and for our good and our benefit. You see, so much of the time we try to work things out, and we try to do what we want to do and the way we want to do it. And when we get things all messed up real good, then we come and realize, I can't do it, but the Holy Spirit of God can, and we begin to turn it over to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit, and He comes and works miracles and performs mighty works in our lives, and things happen then.
Amen.
For our good and for the glory of God.
Thank you,
praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, when you look at those disciples that gathered around Jesus and listened to His teachings, when you see them and watch them, they were very unlikely men to succeed in promoting a new religion and carrying it out to completion. They really were. Look at Peter. Look at some of the others. I know the Bible doesn't tell us the entire story about all of them. Peter's mentioned quite a little bit, his failing, and then his restoration, and then his going forth and doing some great things for God. But we even see Peter making mistakes after the day of Pentecost. We see Paul coming and reprimanding Peter for some bad mistakes that he was making. But yet these men became great and strong and did the thing that Jesus had chose them to do in spite of their weakness, their failings, and their mistakes, simply because they allowed the mighty Holy Spirit to come and work in and through them. And friends, you and I are just as unlikely as Peter and James and John and Matthew and Bartholomew and some of the others were. Oh, when we open up our heart and let the Holy Spirit come and begin to move, He can do things we can't do. It wasn't Peter and James and John that did the mighty work of God. It was the Holy Spirit of God that came down from heaven and flowed in and through them. You and I can't accomplish anything in ourselves, but when we let the Holy Spirit come and move in all of His power and glory, He will accomplish that that we can't do, and magnify and glorify the name of Jesus and lift us into God's holy presence and make us rejoice in the greatness and goodness of God. Praise God. You see, the book of Acts gives us some insight into the mighty workings of the Holy Spirit in the early church. The Bible says that Peter and John was going up to the temple one day for prayer. According to the scripture, it was customary for the Jews to go to the temple about 9 o'clock in the morning to pray. It's kind of difficult to do today the way that our jobs are run. Of course, most of us usually have a break somewhere in the middle of the morning, coffee time, pop time, whatever. That'd be a good time to slip off somewhere and have a prayer. Talk with the Lord, wouldn't it? They was going up to the temple to pray. While they was going toward the temple, when they came to the gate called Beautiful, they encountered a man that was lame, hadn't been able to walk, couldn't work and make a living, but he was begging, asking somebody to give him money to buy food with. A sad, pitiful plight. But Peter and John met this man. And he reached out his hand probably, said something, done something to indicate that he needed some help. And according to what we read there in the scripture, they looked at him and Peter said, "Look on us. Silver and gold have we none." You know, sometimes it seems like in this hour in which we live, the church has got to the place that they think they've got to have big, huge sums of money in order to do things for God. You look at the church world today, and they think they've got to have fabulous sums of money to operate this program and that program and some other program. They think they've got to have big, beautiful, expensive church buildings in order to reach the masses. On and on we could go. I don't want to become critical. I think there's some good and nice, beautiful buildings, and I know that money's needed. But we get our eyes off of the real need and get our eyes on all of these other things. And when we get our eyes off the real need and we set our hearts and eyes on these other things, then we become empty, dead, dry, insensitive to the needs of those around about us. And though we might have large sums of money and beautiful cathedrals, we don't see the apostolic Christianity in the church today. And it's because we leave the Holy Spirit of God out. And we don't have the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. For you see, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and moved into that room where that 120 was, and moved into those lives and filled them, He anointed them, He gave them power. And from that moment on, they began to do the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And about 3,000 souls was added to the church just a short time after they received the mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit. Friends, I believe it's the Holy Spirit we need today.
Amen.
Instead of pie suppers and chili suppers and a lot of these kind of things trying to raise money, I think we need some more prayer meetings, some more secret closet praying, some more waiting on the Holy Spirit until He comes and anoints us anew and afresh and uses us for the glory of God. Because friends, it's still not by might nor by power, not by money, not by beautiful buildings, not by all the things that we can do, but it's by the Holy Spirit that the work of God is going to be done. Because there's no man that's a healer. No man can perform miracles in himself. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to produce the signs and the wonders and the miracles that bring men and women face to face with Jesus and make them to know that there's a Savior in heaven that has power and authority in this old world and can still have control of things today.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Glory to the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. Still sending the same Holy Spirit that He sent on the day of Pentecost. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I know that many of us have been filled with the Holy Spirit. But do we have an up-to-date experience? Are we full and running over? Do we have the mighty works of God moving and flowing in our hearts and lives? Well, I have to say, no, we don't. And it crushes my heart. And it makes me realize we need to wait upon the Holy Spirit. We need the touch of God on and in our lives and hearts today. I don't say these things to be critical, but I say these things to remind us again. It's not by what we do with our hands, with our tongue, our abilities, our resources, but it's what the Holy Spirit is allowed to do in and through us.
Amen.
In the church today that will still get the job done. It's when we hide behind the cross and get to the place that we don't want to be seen, but we want men and women to see Jesus. We want Him to be revealed. We want them to know that He's the Savior. He's the miracle worker. He's the mighty God. That's when I believe we can see great things done for the glory of God. You see, too many times people have had the blessing of God, the touch of God, and they've seen some great things done for the glory of God. But sometimes they get so wrapped up in themselves, they get to putting themselves out, and their ministry is called by their name instead of the power of the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes all you hear is some name of a ministry that speaks nothing about Jesus or the Holy Spirit or anything. It's some man's ministry. But I want you to know, I don't believe any man's got a ministry. I think it's a ministry of the Holy Spirit that will still bring souls to the altar and still see signs and wonders in the church today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And friends, it doesn't always take some big name minister putting his name out. Sometimes we, right in a local church, even sometimes, you know, the ones that's considered little preachers, little pastors, pastoring small churches, if we're not careful, we can promote self instead of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to come back again and realize, like the early church, we can't do anything in ourselves. It takes the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, send the Holy Spirit to the church today. Send the Holy Spirit to us as individuals. Anoint us anew and afresh. We sing that little chorus that says, fresh oil from the throne. Fresh oil from the throne. Anoint us today or tonight, whatever you're singing it, with fresh oil from the throne. We need it, folks. We need that fresh anointing, the fresh touch of God. I believe that many times in the Bible, oil is used to picture the Holy Spirit and His work in the church today. And I know back in the Bible times, they would take a container of oil. And you know, if we do that today, if I take a bottle of this oil and come back there and the Spirit of God speak to me and tell me to go back and anoint somebody and pour that oil on them, you'd probably come up out of that seat, fight. Really? Or if I sat back there and Brother Alvin was up here and the Lord spoke to him and said, take that bottle of oil and go it on, Brother Parker, I'd probably come up ready to hit him in the face. You know, we don't like the idea of taking a bottle of olive oil and pouring on us, but they used to back in Bible days. And I want you to know when they did, the individual that it was poured upon didn't come up ready to fight. Many times he was humble and he gave himself in surrender and yieldedness and said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, take and use me, because that was a sign of a mighty anointing from God. And when I read in some of those times of anointing, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God came upon those individuals and began to move and work in their lives and use them for the glory of God. Oh, I know the New Testament doesn't teach us to take a horn of oil and go around pouring it on people's head and things like that, but it does teach us that the Holy Spirit will come and anoint us with the Spirit of God from heaven with power and authority, with victory, and with the glory and the blessing of God to see the work of God accomplished in the hour in which we live. No, my friends, God is not dead. God's not going on a far journey. God's not asleep this morning, but He's alive. He's well. He's on His throne, and He's still listening to the cry of His people. And I believe He's still in the saving business. I believe He's still willing to pour out His Spirit upon those that wait upon Him and desire to receive Him in their hearts and in their lives. I think we need to realize that we don't receive any more from God than what we want. And I'm talking about myself as well as you. I don't receive anything that I don't want from God. You see, the people that didn't want the Holy Spirit, didn't want to wait on God for that anointing, didn't receive it on the day of Pentecost. But the ones that wanted what Jesus had promised received it, because they listened to His word. They obeyed Him and they waited until He came. And they were all filled. They were all anointed. They were all empowered. And such a great anointing, such a great empowerment. Oh, praise God. And it was noised abroad as such an outstanding, phenomenal thing. And, you know, I don't have a clear picture of what all went on, but I know it was so great and outstanding and so unusual that the Bible says that they came from all over to the city of Jerusalem to see what was happening and taking place. Oh, it opened up a door of ministry. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have the anointing of the Spirit of God that come upon us in such a way that it too would be noised abroad in our community, and people would once again come to see what was happening and what was taking place. I remember back when I was just a kid, even before I was a teenager, I remember I attended the First Assembly of God Church in Lubbock, Texas. And we'd go to church there and have some old-fashioned, old-time revivals, and people would get happy and shout, and when they sang during the song service, they sang, you know, and in the summertime, they'd open the windows up. Didn't know what air conditioning was back in those days. You just opened the windows up and hope for a breeze to blow through and help cool it off a little bit. If it didn't cool off much, you just went ahead and shouted and sang and praised God anyway and let the blessings of the Lord flow. But I remember as a kid, I'd notice, looking out the window, there'd be people on the outside. They didn't come inside to church, but they'd hear many blocks around, the singing, the shouting, the praising, the worshiping God. And there'd be about as many on the outside as there was on the inside. The beautiful thing about it was some of those finally came on the inside and sat down on the back pews, and finally they got down to the altar and got prayed through and saved and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. We've seen it right here in our situation here. I've seen it where we'd be singing and shouting and praising God, and I've seen people on the outside of this church right here looking in the windows to see what was happening and taking place. I believe we can see it again for the glory of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll be the same to us today that he's been in days gone by, if we'll come and let the Holy Spirit move and work in our hearts and lives. Are we ashamed of the Holy Spirit? Are we ashamed to shout? Are we ashamed to see miracles take place, people healed and blessed of God? I hope not. Because if we're ashamed, we'll never see the wonders and the glory of God. But if we're open and willing and desirous to see the things of God, folks, I believe we'll see it. Hallelujah. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He's faithful. He's true. And the Holy Spirit is still real today. Glory to God. Yes, if he spoke to Zerubbabel and said, "It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." I believe he's still speaking to the church today and saying, "It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." For you see, when he was talking to the disciples before his ascension into heaven, even before his death and burial, resurrection, he told them that he was going to send them another comforter. He was going to send the Holy Spirit, a helper, someone to anoint them and empower them. He promised it. And he said, "It's unto you and to your children and to them that are far off." And folks, today we're those that were far off. We're the Gentile world.
Yes.
We're almost 2,000 years into history beyond what they were. So we're those that are far off. But thank God he didn't leave us out. Thank God the Holy Spirit's still falling today. Thank God he's falling right here in Aztec, in First Ascended God. We have felt his touch. We have felt his power and presence. We felt his anointing. He's come in our times of prayer. I'll tell you, just I believe it's last Monday night, some of us come and gathered here around the front and begin to pray. It wasn't too many of us, but I heard the door open. I heard somebody else come in. Then I heard the door open again, and somebody else come in. And the first thing you know, there was volumes of prayer and praise ascending up from right here in this little church building, reaching up to God. And the Spirit of the Lord began to come down, and something began to move on the inside of my soul. Praise God. I'll tell you, folks, God still hears the cries and the prayer of his people, and God still sends his Holy Spirit anointing upon us today, if we'll just let him have his way in our hearts and in our lives. Folks, you may have some mountains in your life. You may have some burdens. You may have some problems. You may have come here this morning thinking, "Well, it'd been a lot easier just to stay home in bed, not got around and come to church. Been better just to have sat at home, got the coffee pot out, drank a little bit of coffee." You may have been discouraged, despondent. You may have some mountains there. Songwriter said, "God, any mountains you can't tunnel through." God specializes in things thought impossible. There might be some things in your life that seems impossible, or in the life of a loved one, a friend, or a neighbor. You know, sometimes we get burdens for loved ones and neighbors and others. Sometimes that burden becomes very heavy. But God specializes in things thought impossible.
Amen.
It could be situation in your home. It could even be physical needs, financial needs, something like that. You know, sometimes some of these things gets to be some big burden, some heavy load for us when things are reversed and go the opposite of what they ought to. But I still say this morning, on the authority of God's word, it's not by might nor by power. You can't work it out yourself. You can't change things in your own power and with your own control. But thank God, like it was with Zerubbabel, it's by my Spirit, can still move and work in your life and in mine this morning, and victories can be granted in every need and in every situation for the glory of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care how heavy the burden might be. He's the burden lifter. Jesus said, cast your care on me. Cast your burdens on me. He promised to help to bear those burdens and carry that heavy load. Friends, he's here for you to cast those burdens on this morning. Hallelujah. He's here when we yield to him and say, Lord, have thine own way. If we yield to him, he'll work out every situation and every need in our hearts and lives. Not by our might, our power, our resources, our abilities, but by the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, he's just as real today as he was on the day of Pentecost. And from that day forward in the early church, he'll still do the same things through you and me today. If we'll wait on him and let him have his way in our hearts and lives. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Your strength may be almost gone. You may have reached the point that it just seems like you can't pray. Do not believe we ought to pray one for another. You know, sometimes when we come and bring our burden to the Lord, let others pray with us. The Spirit of the Lord is able to come and minister, and lift the burden, and meet the need of our life. Would you stand with me this morning?